Hello and welcome to the Oxygenatic Podcast. We're brought to you every week by our sponsors, Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. You can personalize your fueling and hydration strategy so you perform at your best with 15% off your first order of electrolytes and carbohydrate fuel with the code OXYGEN24 at Precision Fuel and Hydration.com. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Coach Rob Wilby, and every week we bring you an episode of this podcast to help motivate and inspire you for your triathlon goals for this season. Listen, a couple of quick things you could do for us before we jump into today's episode. If you do like this episode, please consider following us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And also, if you're watching on YouTube, if you could like and subscribe, that would really help out the growth of the show. It helps the show get shown to more people by the algorithm on the podcast players and on YouTube. So we'd really, really appreciate that. And secondly, if you're looking for help and advice with your triathlon training, please consider getting in touch with us. You can read all about what we offer at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then you can email us at help@oxygenaddict.com. Or there's a link in the show notes to book a call with me or one of the coaching team. We can discuss how we can best help you out with your triathlon goals for this season. Okay, on today's episode, we're going to be talking about the three biggest mistakes that we see triathletes making with their fueling and with their hydration. And so the first and most important thing to consider here is really there's three levers to pull. And those of you who have been longtime listeners to the podcast will know, if you go back in the archives, we've had Andy Blow from Precision Hydration on the show several times, and they've really made a great science out of understanding fueling and hydration. And he's helped my understanding of it massively, which has in turn helped all of our athletes' understanding of it. And his simple way of explaining this, I think, is the best. He talks about there being three levers that you can pull in order to affect your hydration and your fueling while you're competing. And those three levers are really simple. You've got the amount of carbohydrate that you take in. You've got the amount of fluid that you take in the form of water. And you've got the amount of electrolytes, primarily sodium, that you take in. And if you can get those three levers pulled correctly and working together, you're going to fuel your performance well. You're going to hydrate your performance well. You're going to make sure the sodium's there to help with the muscle firing effectively. And so that's going to effectively help you prevent getting cramp when you're taking part. So there's much more to avoiding the cramp than just drinking water. It's the balance of the water and the electrolytes. So that's the first and the guiding principle for you to take in, which is we have to get those three things right. And if you're doing a longer distance triathlon, you can't simply ignore it. You can't simply hope that you've got a strategy during the racing or even during the training. You have to practice during training so you know exactly how much you're going to need to fuel yourself during the race. So the answer to how much you need of each one of these is a bit more complex. And the answer is, it's very individual. Everybody's different in terms of how much they need for carbohydrate, for electrolytes, for fluid, even the amount you'll personally need, depending on weather conditions, whether it's very cold, whether it's very hot, and depending on how hard you're going. So in a longer distance race, you're going to need a different amount to in a shorter, higher intensity race. But we can give you some guidelines. That's the good starting point. We can talk about what we see for the average triathlete, if you like. We can talk about a range that people work in. We can then help you understand ways that you can experiment during training and then work it out for yourself so that it works well for you. Okay, so first up, let's talk about carbohydrate. The first big mistake we see triathletes making is not really either eating anything at all during training or not making a note of how much they're eating and when, so they don't have an accurate record of how much carbohydrate they've taken in during the training sessions. So that's the first idea here. You're going to have something, and it's a really good idea to record what you've taken in during the session. And we'll talk this here in terms of grams of carbohydrate per hour. And then you can then use that as a baseline to experiment from and write down how you feel after the session as well. So that's going to be our underlying theme, if you like, for all of these three levers. Start from the point of view of you're going to have something, and you're going to have to write down what you've taken each time and make a note of how you feel so you can then do some experimentation. And this is often a place where with new athletes who are new to the sport or new to being coached or new to us, you can get away with having very little or nothing, or kind of eating and drinking randomly, if you're only doing short sessions or if you're only doing short races. So someone who's come from a background of doing 10Ks or half marathons, get through one of those without having to have anything at all. You can get through a sprint triathlon without having to have anything at all. Possibly you can even get away with not having much during an Olympic triathlon. But as those distances increase, it's going to become more and more important that you get the balance right for yourself. So we're going to have something. We're going to need to make a note of what we're having, and we're going to need to track how we feel after that. So firstly, in terms of carbohydrate, the range that we tend to see is in the range of 60 to 80 grams of carbohydrate per hour. So work that on the basis of there's 4 calories from each gram of carbohydrate. We're looking somewhere between sort of 250 and 300 calories-ish from carbohydrates per hour for the range of the majority of triathletes. And then we can experiment within there. There's evidence that this is trainable. There's evidence that if you gradually increase the amount of carbohydrate you take in, your body gradually gets used to absorbing more carbohydrate. And essentially, especially for long distance triathlon, it is an energy limited event more than it is a fitness limited event. And what I mean by that is there's going to be a massive calorie deficit between the amount of calories you can store in your body in terms of stored carbohydrate and the amount of calories your body needs from stored carbohydrate. And especially in the longer events, the bigger that gap gets between what you've stored and what you need, that gap is there to kind of represent your performance potential, if you like. And if you can train your body to absorb more carbohydrate per hour, you can essentially fuel more hours of higher intensity exercise per hour. So that's the first thing to think of. Somewhere between that 60 grams and 80 grams of carbohydrate per hour is a good kind of ballpark for most age groupers. And we say to start at the lower end of that and gradually work your way up by increasing by, say, 5 or 10 grams of carbohydrate per hour. And again, keep a track of how you feel. Now, it doesn't matter too much what form those calories take, whether it's drink mix in the form of carbohydrate drink mixing with your fluid, whether it's chews, whether it's gels, whether it's real solid food like flapjacks or pretzels, doesn't seem to matter too much. The key is having the right number of grams of carbohydrate for you and your body and the intensity that you're exercising at that day, and to a certain extent, the temperature of that day as well. And over time, you can increase the amount of carbohydrate that you can absorb as you're going along. So for a typical situation, although this isn't indicated in any of the literature, I'll be clear on this, but it's an observation that we've had. We've tended to see that smaller athletes and females tend to be at the lower end of the carbohydrate grams, especially initially. And then bigger athletes tend to be able to absorb more grams of carbohydrate, and more elite athletes tend to be able to absorb more grams of carbohydrate. So again, when we talk to Precision Fuel and Hydration about this, they gave us some evidence from their database they've collected in athletes. And admittedly, it's top-end age groupers and elite athletes, but some of them had gotten to the point where they're absorbing over 100 grams of carbohydrate an hour. Now, let me be very clear, that's a very large number for the vast majority of the population. And I don't think it's going to be achievable for almost anyone without significant training to get to that level. And in a lot of those studies, the athletes had started at the higher end, had started at 80 grams and had worked their way up to 85, 90, 100, maybe 100 plus. But again, for the majority of the age groupers, that 60 to 80 grams per hour is a really, really good starting point that you can then monitor how you feel and gradually increase that to the point where you see how it affects your performance. Now, you might wonder why we don't want to just go straight in at the deep end and take in as much as we possibly can. The reason for that is what we tend to find happen is it'll either make you feel sick, or it'll actually make you be sick, or you'll need to go to the toilet and you'll end up with diarrhea and the runs, because you'll end up with, over a long period of time, a large number of undigested calories sitting in the stomach. And over time, your body is not going to want that and he's going to try and get rid of it somehow. So we don't want to start at the very high end. We want to start at the low end and work our way up. okay? A great way to do this is to start doing it as part of your long rides. Because again, you can get through your shorter sessions without really needing very much by the way of carbohydrate at all. And there's evidence you don't really need to take anything on sessions less than an hour anyway. So make this the focus of your longer outdoor bike ride, where you've got a track of how many calories you've got with you. Make a little note of what you're aiming to have, whether it's so many calories or so many grams from your drink, so many grams from a gel, so many grams from a chew or from a flapjack, whatever that mix is that works right for you, try and stick to it. And something our athletes have a lot of success with is having a bit of a schedule. So they might set the watch to beep every half an hour. And on the half an hour, they'll try to eat something with, say, 30 grams worth of carbohydrates in. And that way, you can keep a track of both how much you've taken in, how you're feeling along the way. And if you get a little bit hungry, you can add a bit more. If you start to notice that you're feeling full or feeling sick, you can take in a little bit less. But it gives you a really good and accurate number that you can then base your reflections on later on. Okay, so that's our first one, that's talking about carbohydrates. The second mistake that we see people making is around the fluid intake. And the first mistake, as we've said with carbohydrate, is it's people just not drinking anything at all. It's going out and going out for a long ride, not really having anything. And do you know what? There's a body of evidence that shows this is really easy and simple to do in the wintertime or in the springtime when it's cold out. There's evidence athletes sweat very, very little or don't sweat at all when the temperature is very low. And so trying to force yourself to drink a lot is actually counterproductive. But we end up in the situation where coming out of winter, maybe our brain's programmed to not need to drink very much while we're out there. And it becomes very important to remind ourselves to do that when we're going into the springtime and the summer months as it starts to get warmer. So a really good starting point here is to think the range is probably somewhere between 500 milliliters to 1,000 milliliters per hour. And again, we're talking here about how much your body can absorb during the hour of exercise, not physically how much you can shovel into yourself. Because if you're not absorbing it, it's really no point in drinking it. So again, the data says some people absorb more than others. There's data to show that the amount you can absorb in a given hour is trainable as well in the right conditions. So again, over time, we can look to try to learn to absorb more fluid over time. It can be a real challenge for athletes who are racing in the summer or going abroad to race where it's very hot, and the training in cooler climes and training in the springtime when it isn't as hot. Race day can then be a real challenge to kind of recalibrate how much you actually need on race day compared to how much you've needed in training. So it's very important to be aware of this. You will need to absorb more fluid on a day when it's hot. Now, the good news is your body will naturally do that. Your body will naturally absorb that fluid on a day when it's hot and it needs it. So you don't need to worry about the fact you might be drinking more on a very hot event day or even drinking even more on a very hot training day. The key is to get a baseline number of how much you're drinking and absorbing during your standard training sessions and work out about what's right for you. And again, a good starting point here is that 500 milliliters per hour. See how you feel at the end of that session. If you need to adjust upwards, you can adjust upwards. And it looks like, again, the upper limits there, and the normal conditions anyway, is about 1,000 milliliters per hour. You can certainly absorb much more than on a day when it's very, very hot. But in a normal temperate condition, it's going to be between that 500 and 1,000. So there's kind of our ballpark. And it gives you a good feel then for sort of how much you're going to need on a normal day. And again, you can track it on the day when you've trained and it's really hot. Make a note of how much you've needed to take in on those days when it's really hot. So just a little bit of a, and this might sound obvious to people who've been in the sport for a long time, but it might not be obvious at all to people who are new to the sport. On a long ride, when you're out there, you are going to have to find a way to restock your water supplies. Most people will be carrying, say, maximum of 2 750-milliliter water bottles. Well, that liter and a half of water is going to be gone on a hot day. It's going to be gone in not much over an hour. So what do we do? You've either got to ride back past your house and refill the water bottles, or you've got to stop at a shop or stop at a petrol station and refill there. So that's worth planning into your rides. You are going to need this fluid. Start to make a note on those long rides of where you can go and you can refill your water bottles and take care of it that way. And then the third mistake we see people making, and people are much, much better about talking about electrolytes these days, but it is the challenge of taking in electrolytes alongside fluid. And the reason it's important is when we sweat, we don't just sweat water. We lose sodium, we lose potassium. And if we just replace the water, we end up very depleted in those electrolytes. And that means our muscles are not firing as effectively. And in some cases, there's evidence to say that that's something that might contribute to cramps as well. So we really want to keep on top of the electrolyte intake. Having the right balance of the electrolytes will also help your body absorb the fluid faster as well. So the piece around staying hydrated, it's really worth thinking of fluid and electrolytes together as one symbiotic relationship where they've got to work together to make things right for you. Now, again, talking to the people at Precision Fuel and Hydration, they've given us a range for most people between sort of 500 to 750 milligrams of sodium per liter of fluid lost is kind of where the peak of the bell curve is for most people. But that number goes up to close to 2000 milligrams per liter in some athletes. I'm an athlete who has a huge amount of sodium goes out of my sweat. It's over 1600 milligrams per liter. So I have to replace an awful lot of sodium in every bottle that I drink. Now, again, Precision Fuel and Hydration have been longtime sponsors of the show, but they're sponsors because I met them and thought this is a brilliant product that is filling a need in the market. So for me, I have those sachets with me when I'm out on a long ride. If I stop at the gas station, I pour some water into the bottle and I put another sachet in, and all my fluid is then balanced to me at the levels that I need it. So you can go to their website, you can take their online sweat test, and that'll give you a really good lead as to how much sodium you need. But a good starting point is to notice how hydrated or dehydrated you feel at the end of a ride. And if you find that a couple of hours after a ride, you're really thirsty, despite you having drunk a lot, then that's a sign that things are out of whack and you need to do something about it. So we'll put links in the show notes to Precision Fuel and Hydration's electrolyte planning tool. That's really valuable for you and it's free to do. Remember, there's those three levers. We've got carbohydrate, we've got electrolytes, and we've got fluid. And we need to get all of them right to avoid making mistakes that might potentially derail our performance. Okay, then. That brings us to the end of this week's episode. So here are some discount codes and deals for you. Over at precisionfuelandhydration.com, use the code OXYGEN24 for 15% off your first electrolyte order. And over at teamoxygenaddict.com, I think we've got the most comprehensive triathlon coaching program for busy age groupers. If you've enjoyed what you've heard today and the advice has helped you out, well, great stuff. I hope that's helped put some of your fears at rest. And I know from some of the calls we've had, it's helping raise the right questions in the minds of people as to whether their current coaching relationship is working for them. If you're looking for a change, or if you're looking for high quality proven coaching for Ironman or 70.3 triathlon this year, you can just check out the details of our coaching packages on our website at teamoxygenaddict.com. And then if you're interested, there's a link in the show notes below. You can join our waiting list and you'll be notified if a slot becomes available. And at that point, you'll have a chance to book a call with us and see if you'd be a good fit for joining the team. So although we don't have slots available at the moment, we'll make those call appointments available to people as and when we do have athletes who end their coaching packages during the season, if and when that happens. So remember, there's links in the show notes, so you don't have to remember them. Till next week, have a great, safe training and racing week. I'm Coach Rob Wilby, and you've been listening to the Oxygen Addict Podcast. See ya.